Always, when you give out a book for Father's Day, you kind of wonder, are they going to read it? I know, it would be nice if it was a movie, but I do hope you'll take the time to it's a small booklet. It's not going to take you, in fact, you could probably read it in one day if you really applied yourself. It wouldn't take you long, and I do hope that you'll kind of get those principles and apply them to your life and see if you can't begin to use those in your life in a great way. So we're in Proverbs chapter number 22, and I'm going to read verse number 6, and then we'll have a message for you this morning. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So again, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day, Lord. I'm grateful to you for fathers. I'm grateful to you for my dad, the influence he had in my life. Lord, I'm thankful for all these other dads who are here who have spent time investing in their children. And God, I do pray that you would encourage our hearts. And though this message is geared, yes, for fathers, all of us can gain growth from applying these truths to our life. And so, God, I do pray that you'd work throughout all of our hearts and our lives this morning. And I pray that you'd help us as we seek to grow closer to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, Father's Day, for obvious reasons, is a special day for me. I am blessed to be able to have four children, and that God has been good to me by giving us four children. And today is my day. I woke up this morning, and guess what was sitting for me on the counter? A gift, and a Father's Day gift. In fact, it was this shirt my wife gave me, and so I quickly ironed it and put it on and got ready for church. And then each one of my kids, as they woke up, came out and gave me a little card that they had made. It was all taped, and Happy Father's Day. And so I got to open that up and thank them for their gift to me. So it's a special day for me. I enjoy it. And just a little bit, I think it's the first time out of the entire year we will be able to have steaks for lunch. And so that's what's on the menu today, is steaks. And I'm so happy, and I can't wait. So we will get you out of here real quickly so we can get to those steaks. But I do love Father's Day. It's a great day for me. I'll call my dad and talk to him, and I hope that if you have if your father is still available and around, that you will spend time thanking him and honoring him, and if not, thinking about him. But make sure that we do our best to honor our fathers. This last week, my wife and I decided that really the night before I left for Spiritual Leadership Conference to bring my son with me to the conference. We were just sitting around, and we just decided, you know what, he should go with you. And I'm like, yeah, let's bring him. And so we brought him with us to Spiritual Leadership Conference. And I didn't know for sure how it was going to be bringing him with me. He's 7 years old, and there's a lot of things that I had to do and be in. I didn't know if he's going to enjoy everything. And it was amazing to me because from the very beginning I said, you know, we're here at church. It was Sunday morning. Do you want to go find the kids' church? You know, we'll stick you in the kids' church, and you can hang out there, and I'll go in here and go to church. He said, no, I want to go with you. So I did. I brought him with me into church. We sat near the front, and he enjoyed it. I asked him what was the preaching about. He gave me the outline, and so he enjoyed it. He learned it. And so I had so much fun with my son on this trip. We connected in a really awesome way, and I was reminded once again of the joy, but also the responsibility of being a father. Becoming a father truly is life-changing. Everything changes, and you're now responsible, along with your wife, to care for and raise an infant, a baby, a human being. That's a huge responsibility. And the things that you put into them will come out. And there will be fruit from your investment or lack of investment in their life. And so it's huge. You got to make sure you're on your toes. You got to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing. It's sobering and at the same time terrifying. That this responsibility, you're responsible for a life. Again, what you put into that child will become his character when he is adult. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As a father, you are crucial to the training process, along with the child's mother, of raising this child for God. Now, let me say this at the start, and I know we gave books just to the fathers and then just to the men, and I know that I wish I could give books to everybody, but mothers, you had your day, right? So don't get all, well, that's not fair. The thing is,
We wanted to honor fathers, and I want to make the statement that fathers are not more important than mothers. I hope we understand that. And mothers are not more important than fathers. They are equal in importance. Different in roles, but equal in importance. We need both as much as possible. And that's to say, if you grew up with a single parent, that does not say that you're broken or anything like that. That's not true. But God designed a father and a mother to raise children for him. And so we want to emphasize this morning fathers and try to encourage fathers in their role. Now, the Bible tells us that fathers are to bring up their children or to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So fathers, a command to you is that, yeah, you don't provoke your children to wrath, but at the same time, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Make sure that they have what they need to follow God. Make sure that you're investing in your life. And so this morning, I have highlighted three areas in which I believe it's important for fathers to train to instill in their children. Now, these are not the only thing that you need to instill and train in your children. I think it's important to train them in basic things like, well, hygiene. You know, how to brush your teeth, how to wash your hands, how to comb your hair, how to take a shower, all those different things, how to make sure you're clean. That's important, but I'm not going to talk about that this morning. That's hopefully a given. And there's many other things that you can teach your children, how to behave at a table and make sure that you're eating properly, how to use silverware and all these different things, and make sure that you're respectful to adults. And all of these things are needful, but again, not what we're going to focus on this morning. So I hope you understand this is not an all-encompassing message in what we're trying to train our children. But I do believe that these three areas are important. The first area that I want to look at for fathers is your example that you're leaving. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and they shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." These verses are speaking about an example. You want to leave and lay an example for those that are following you to see. You know, first, the word of God should be in your heart. That's the very place we start. The Word of God should be in your heart. That's where we start. And then you should teach it. You should talk about the Word of God when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you get up, when you go to sleep. You should talk about the Word of God. You should live the Word of God. You should leave an example, not just at the church house, but everywhere. Everywhere you go, you should leave an example for your children to say, hey, if I do that, if I follow what Dad is doing right now, I'll still be living in accordance with the Word of God. I'll still be obedient to the Word of God. Let it not be said of us at any time in our lives that if our children do exactly what we do, they'll be disobedient to God. We want to leave that good example, a right example, so that when they follow us and do what we do as they will do, they're walking in accordance with the Word of God. Train them in the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Set the proper example. Children need to see a dad who loves God. Children need to see a dad who thinks serving God is important. It's important that they say, hey, Dad thinks serving God is important. Guess what? If you don't think it's important, your kids aren't going to think it's important. They'll follow your example. And they need a father who says, living for God is the best thing I can do with my life. That's important to leave because they will follow your example. They will do what you do. And if you say, hey, living for the job is the most important thing I can do in my life, they too will make sure that their job is the most important thing that they do with their life. They'll follow your example, so make sure that we have the right priorities in our life and say, hey, no, God comes first. That in everything that we do, He would have the preeminence. And that your children, as they follow you, can see that example and say, that's what I want for my life. Set an example. Set the right example that they can follow. There was a father and a son who arrived in a small western town. They were looking for their uncle whom they had never seen before. And suddenly the father pointed across the square to a man who was walking away from them, and he exclaimed, "There goes my uncle." And the son said to his father, "Well, how do you know that's our uncle? We've never seen him before." And he said, "Son, I know him because he walks exactly like my dad." They had a trait that was observable, even when they'd never met him before. And we need to make sure that we leave traits that gives an example of Christ's likeness. That we say, hey, that's them. That they're doing something that Christ would do. They're leaving an example for me to follow. Make sure that as fathers, we leave that example. Whether we like it or not, our children are learning from us. And when they are old, they will behave like us. It's the way it is. Now, it's not to say that everything you do, they will emulate. It's not to say that if you are walking uprightly, that they will guaranteed walk uprightly. But they will see your example. They will know what works and what doesn't work. They will know what's real and what's not real. They'll see. So show them a life that's following Christ. Set an example for them to follow of Christ's likeness. So the first thing, again, this morning is example. The second thing I want to look at that we need to make sure that we are instilling in our children by example is integrity. You know, this past week at the Spiritual Leadership Conference, the reason why I chose this point is because they had a class entitled Integrity. My guys really wanted to go check it out. Let's go check out this class. And to be honest with you, the subject matter of the class didn't exactly match the title. And they kind of were a little bit disappointed by the fact that, hey, I went to learn about integrity. It wasn't really about integrity. It was more about loyalty. But the reality is we need integrity. What is integrity? You know, the dictionary defines it as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness, if you could combine the two. Now, we know the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. We also know the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies. So if Jesus is the truth and Satan is the father of life, it behooves us to make sure that we are being honest, that we tell the truth. We need to raise our children with integrity. Integrity. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and they that deal truly are his delight." Be honest with you, that's a crazy statement. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That's not something that I want to leave for my children. That's not an example that I want to set for them so that they can follow and do something that God has labeled as an abomination. Lying lips. So we need to have integrity. We need to have honesty. Integrity is not just about saying the right thing. It's also about doing the right thing. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's something that we need to leave an example for our children. Hey, it's not just enough to say the right things. It's not just enough to give the right answer when somebody asks. It's important to live it. It's important to do it. That's what integrity is. It's your saying and your doing matching. Integrity. I know that none of us are perfect. We struggle with that. There are things that we need to grow in as fathers, as humans, as individuals, and everybody, not just fathers. But we need to be people of integrity. It's not just about honesty either. It also includes having strong moral principles. And that's why we gave you that book this morning, 10 Principles for Biblical Living. And again, I hope you'll take that book home. I hope you'll read it because we need to have strong moral principles, right principles, doing the right thing, making sure that we are living honestly, that we're being right with our neighbors, that we aren't cheating folks and that we aren't living corruptly and that we realize there are certain things that we need to have in our life. Certain things like relationships are more important than fame or other things. You know, to be honest with you, there are people today who, to get to a certain level of fame, and really what's behind all of that is the wealth that's associated with that, whether it's a business venture, will step on people, will use people, will take advantage of people just to get this certain level of notoriety and many times wealth. And the principle that we need to have, the moral principle that we need to have is, hey, people, our relationships are more important than that. It's more important than when you die that you were having good relationships with people, that you were invested in people, that you cared for people, that you loved people, than the amount of fame you had, than the amount of wealth you had. That's important. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to develop that principle and live by that principle. Make sure that we have this idea of integrity. It's important for every father to have strong moral principles. I heard this story about a father. It's interesting. There was a father and his son, and they would go to work together, and he took him during the summer months to go to work, and he was trying to teach his son and train his son. And each morning, they would stop off at the grocery store to pick up an early edition of the newspaper. The father liked to get this early edition and read it and on their way to work. And one morning when they got to work, the father had found that by mistake, he'd accidentally taken two copies of the early morning edition of the newspaper. And so at first he said, you know what, I'll just pay the guy double next time I go in tomorrow morning. I'll just pay him double and take care of it that way. And then he saw his son. And his son saw that he had taken two newspapers. So he said, you know what, I better go ahead and show this example to my son and take the newspaper back. And so he did. They walked all the way back to the grocery store and said, you know what, I mistakenly took two newspapers. Here's the one I took back. And he said, I'm sorry about that. And he said, have a good day. And he left. Well, a couple months down the road, this grocery store was robbed. Something was taken from the store, and after the police came and they got there and they did some examination, and they pinpointed the time that this robbery occurred. And the grocer remembered that there was only two people in the store at that time. And one of them was this father with. And the grocer immediately dismissed him as a suspect, saying, this man is honest. He came all the way back here just to return a newspaper he took by mistake. And so the police automatically dismissed him as a suspect and focused their entire investigation on the other individual, and they found the items that were stolen. We need to be people of integrity. People that when the grocery store sees us, they say, that's an honest person. Or whatever the case may be, we need to have integrity in our life. And the impact of a father's integrity changed this child's life forever. Do the right thing. Have strong moral principles. Just do the right thing. Train up a child in the way he should go. Don't just say the way to go. By the way, in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The best way to provoke your child to wrath is to tell him the way to go. And to go differently. To do one thing while saying another. That will provoke your child to wrath quicker than anything you can possibly do. Do as I say, not as I do. We need to make sure we have integrity. The third area that we need to give to our children is quite simply time. Time. It takes time to train. It takes time to invest. It takes time to influence a child for God. It takes effort. One of the decisions that I made this past week, among many, but one of the ones that spoke to my heart was this idea of social media. They were talking about how social media can become addicting. How we're always going through, how we always need it. I talked to you about it in Sunday school a couple months ago, how there's an endorphin release when people like your posts. And you can see that, and so that's why people post crazy stuff, because they're trying to get people to like, because there's actual high that comes from that. It's crazy, and it's actually addicting. And even times I find myself, when you're bored or when you're just sitting there, you just pick up your phone and automatically, you know, you go and you look at stuff. Not even thinking. And then meanwhile, there's been times when I've had a child tugging on my pants. Papa, papa. My wife, for some reason, I hear her voice, I don't hear theirs. But she'll say, hey, they're talking to you. Your kid's talking to you. Oh, hey, how's it going? And I find myself, you know what, I don't want my child, their memories of their life being one of the, they're pulling on my pant leg, papa, 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 and I got my face buried in a phone. So I made the decision, I took the app off my phone this week. I'll still connect on my desktop here when I'm in the office, but when I'm at home, I'm not going to have Facebook. And it's, to me, if I said that a couple years ago, people would have said, oh, that doesn't matter. But today it's like, oh my goodness, I don't think I could do that. It's a social media app. It's not life. Your kids are life and they need your time. We have to invest our time in their lives. And so I want to challenge us, hey, whatever is distracting you, whatever is keeping your mind out of focus, whatever is drawing you away from your kids, get rid of it. It's not that important. And by the way, if I was leading people to Christ over and over again on Facebook, I would still use it, but I'm not. I don't know anybody who has. Really, I honestly don't know that. Who has led somebody to Christ using the Facebook app? Nobody. What we do is a lot of arguing. We do a lot of offending. We do a lot of problems. There's all kinds of problems that come from it. To me, it's just not that important. Let's get rid of it. Not necessary. Or at least manage it better. Make sure that we allow our time with our children to be invested in them. The other thing I realized about my children is they grow up quick. You know, my son, he's 7 years old. My daughter's 11. I just thought about this today. My nephew, Kainoa, is now driving a vehicle. Just fair warning, right? He's driving a vehicle around town. And I thought about this, man, my daughter will be driving in, like if she gets her license when she's 16, in 5 years. That's not very long. That's kind of, what? What happened? She was just born. And my son's 7 years old, and they're talking about things. And now our daughter, we have to be, she's really in LA, so we have to like push her, with, you know, what are you listening? Get out of here. Because she's always paying attention. She's always listening to conversations. She's always wanting to be involved in like adult-type conversations. I'm like, what? What do you care about this? Go play with your dolls. But she's older than that now. And my time to invest in her is fleeting. And as a father, your children grow so fast, and we want to make sure that we invest time in them while we have the opportunity. And again, talk to any parent whose children are grown, and they'll tell you it happens so fast. And we want to make sure that we invest our time, that we're not distracted, and time does truly fly. And we have to be careful about those things that will rob us of our most precious resource, time. Whatever it is, it's not as important as your kids. Invest in them. Spend time with them. The minutes that we have with our children are not only fleeting, but we will never get them back. They're gone. So invest time in your children. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It means to buy back the time, to get as much time as you can because there's not much left of it. And the same is true with our kids. We want to make sure that we are investing in our children's lives. And yes, even as adults, you want to make sure that you keep investing. I appreciate any time my dad can talk to me and give me advice and counsel and just to share time with. Even as an adult, it's important to spend time investing with your kids. There are times, to be honest with you, when I come home that I would rather rest. I'm tired. I need to rest. But my child needs my influence. They need my time. And as a father, it's important that I make sure that I drum up the energy to give them time. It's important. Invest time. There's a story that's told of Charles Francis Adams. He was the son of President John Quincy Adams. He was the grandson of President John Adams. And he kept a diary. One day he entered, went fishing with my son today, a waste of time. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence today. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry: went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. The father thought that he was wasting time while fishing with his son. But his son saw it as an investment of time, and it mattered to him. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. But make sure that we are investing in our children. Fathers, we are not wasting our time when we are investing in spending time with our kids. That's important. Make the time. Make the effort. Be the dad. Three things that I think are important: integrity, an example, integrity, and time. If we're going to be the fathers that God wants us to be, make sure that we're leaving a good example. You know, one of the examples my dad left for me was always going to church. We were there all the time. My dad, if you've been around church for a little while, you're a member of our church, you probably know that my dad, he had a knee replacement surgery in February. It didn't go so well, got infected, they had to take it out, so now he's without a knee for 2 more months until they can go through the surgery to put it back in. And so he has this big air cast on, and he's pretty immobile. But I went on Sunday night this past week, I went down to a town 2 hours out of the way at Newport Beach and preached there for a friend of mine, and I wasn't there on Sunday night. And the pastor of the church came up to me the next day and said, "Hey, it was great to have your dad in church on Sunday night." I was like, "What? How did my dad get to church?" And so I went and interrogated my dad. "Dad, what happened? How did you get to church?" He said, "Well, I got my walker." They lived just a couple miles, really less than a mile from the church. And he said, I just got to the car and I drove to church." He doesn't have a knee. And like, it's on the gas pedal leg. It's on the right leg. And I'm like, "How did you do that? And secondly, why did you do that? You got to let this thing heal." He said, "I haven't been to church in 3 months. I wanted to go to church." And it was important to him. And while I don't necessarily know if I'll follow that example, if I ever have to have my knee replaced, because it was rather, I wouldn't say it was a bad idea, but it was a pretty bad idea. But it taught me that church is important to my dad. This is an important thing to him. And that's a legacy he's leaving me with. So the question for us as fathers is, what are we leaving our children? What do they think is important to dad? Is it always money? Is it fame? Is it notoriety? Is it the job? Or is it them? Is it their mom? Is it your God? Leave a good example with integrity and time. There's one final and important thing that we can give our kids, and that is a clear testimony of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Making sure that our kids know that we believe in Jesus Christ. Making sure our kids know that we have a faith in Jesus Christ. We have a real relationship with Him. And while you cannot get saved for your kids, it's important to leave them a clear gospel message. They understand that, yes, we are all sinners. The Bible says that, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners. I am a sinner. My kids, they're sinners. You're a sinner. All of us have disobeyed God's law. That's what sin is. That's reality. And even more than that, there's a penalty for sin. There's a price for sin that must be paid. And in Romans 6:23, the Bible tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." Death. Separation from God. And the place the Bible defines as hell for all eternity. That's the price for my sin. That's what I owe. There's a song that we sing, "I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away." And that someone that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for sin. We know the story. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. He did that for you. For your sin, the payment for your sin, to take your place, to pay death for you. It's an amazing story how God loves you in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And so the answer today is, have you received him? Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I said this morning, I was blessed to be able to get several gifts from my wife and from my children for Father's Day. I love them. They're great. I had to ask Avi to describe what exactly it was that she drew me. But it was wonderful. What is this? Oh, great. It's amazing. And I gladly accepted their gift and thanked them for it. And God is a gift for you. That gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift is the payment of your sins for what he did for you on the cross. Now, here's the reason why I say you must accept it, because there are many who don't. I can't tell you the amount of people that I've talked to when I say, hey, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you like to know for sure that your sins are forgiven? They say no. And they'll offer a wide variety of excuses. One of the main ones is, I've been a good person. I don't need his gift. That doesn't make any sense. We're all sinners. The price for sin is death and hell. It doesn't matter how good of a good person you've been. If you're a sinner, you still have that price hanging over your head. You still need somebody to pay the price. And good sin does not weigh. This is so funny. You get a speeding ticket and you go to the judge. You say, well, I have been a good driver. Well, you were speeding on this and this a day and this zone. You were 10 miles over the speed limit, going 35 and a 25, in a school zone, no less. Well, I hear you, but I have been such a good driver. I've been driving now for 15 years. I'm a great driver. So what? Just because you've been a good driver doesn't mean that you weren't offending on that one point. And the Bible tells us if we offend on one point, we're guilty of it all. Your good doesn't outweigh your bad. If you have any bad, the penalty and price for that is death. But God loves you. His grace is so incredible. I have been studying his grace lately, and it's just an amazing, amazing study. How he would love me and you and care for us and constantly send us messages, constantly send us reminders, and constantly send us the gospel. And all you have to do is receive it, accept it, believe it. In Romans chapter 9, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I love about this message is I don't have to bring anything to the table. I don't have to be born in a certain place. I don't have to have a certain pedigree. I don't have to have a certain standing. I don't have to make a certain income. I don't have to be bringing anything. I simply call out. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And he saves. It's incredible. It's amazing. You know, there's so many things, especially today, I'm noticing more and more. There are things reserved for different people for different reasons. You know, for all different kinds of reasons. It's amazing traveling on the airlines. It's a lot of hecticness going on, and I think there's a lot of uncertainty, especially with the news that came out a few months ago about how certain passengers were treated on airlines. So everybody's kind of like, you know, am I going to get beat up today? You know, what's going to happen to me today? And you're kind of a little bit on edge, and you're kind of, you know, moving through, and there's people checking you out. And I remember going to LAX when we were leaving, there was a dog there sniffing all everybody's stuff, and he's all, you know, sniffing everything that you got, and kind of weirded out by that, you know, and just kind of, you're on edge. And I see people who have paid extra money, and they've definitely paid extra money to travel first class. And they do believe there are certain some of them believe that there are certain privileges that they're theirs. And that's true. They paid the extra money. It's fine. But on some occasions, just walking down the airport, like, get out of my way. I'm first class. Well, great. That's on the plane. This is the airport. And the reality is, there are many things in life that people believe that they are special because of certain things. Whether you're born in a certain place, or whether you have a certain lineage, or whatever the case may be. Whether your uncle, I know people that would tell me things like, well, my uncle was one of the founding fathers, or my great uncle was one of the founding fathers. Great. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. Doesn't matter. We're all equal at the cross. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, millionaire or pauper. We all need a Savior. And so many times people come into that equation by saying, well, I am this or I am that. And my parents went to church. I've talked to people that say, well, my parents started this and this church over here. Great. But that doesn't pay the penalty for sin. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you may be thinking, man, I'm at Quai Baptist Church, and that's a great place to be. I recommend coming every Sunday. But that won't get you to heaven. And there's many things you can do for God that will bring a blessing in your life, but they won't bring salvation. You're not going to change God's favor towards you by what you do. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, father or not, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure that your sins have been forgiven. Well, today the Bible says it's the day of salvation. Today you can be saved, and it's easy, it's simple. It wasn't easy for Jesus, but he made it easy for us. All we have to do is believe and receive the gift. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the gift of fathers. But most importantly, God, we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And God, my prayer is that there's somebody here today, even one person here today, that does not know for sure that their sins have been forgiven. Well, I'm glad they're here. Because today, they can know for sure. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody here today. And I can't see into the overflow, but if you're in the overflow, I want you to, everybody has bowed and everybody's eyes closed out there. Let's listen to this invitation. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins have been forgiven. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. Anything. I just want you to slip up your hand and put it right back down. I'll see it, and then I'm going to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that my sins have been forgiven. Would you slip that hand up? I'll see it. You can put it right back down. If you're in the overflow, if you're out there, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins have been forgiven. If you would please see me before you leave here today, say, Pastor, would you show me how, can you show me from the Bible how you can know for sure? I don't want anybody to leave here today that does not know for sure without knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven, that their sins have been forgiven. It's such a simple gift. Free. It's by grace. It's available to you today. Don't leave here without it. Again, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray that you bless this church. Help us to be all that you've wanted to be, and for everybody today, not just fathers. Help us to walk with a great example, to be truly Christ followers. I pray that you help us to have integrity, to do the right thing, have strong moral uprightness, be honest, and have our words match our actions. And God, I do pray also for time, that you would help us to redeem the time and invest in our children, to invest in the things that matter and make a difference. And God, most importantly, that we might leave an example of salvation to our children and even our grandchildren. I pray now that you bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to take our